wanna be down with the king.
Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston Sports Radio, John and Lance.
All right. Good Friday morning, everybody. John and Lance here with you, along with RJ, for the next 3 hours here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And we got a couple of good things to talk about. I was a little bit more excited about seeing Jabari for the first time. That didn't work out quite as well as I had wanted.
Probably for a lot of people in Houston, actually.
Yeah.
Unless you scan the channels looking for, you weren't going to find that summer league game on ESPN.
You know, and that's so weird. On my guide, it said Rockets and Magic, you know, was going to be on ESPN. And in the NHL draft, and for some reason, I don't know why, my wife, she was like, turn this off. And all these white guys up here getting drafted and talking like this. Yeah, yeah, it's a bunch of Yankees. Turn them off. I was like, what the?
A bunch of Yankees. Probably half of them aren't even from the United States.
No. Well, anybody north of Opelousas is a Yankee. So
yeah, then that's everybody.
Yeah, that's everybody. So, and I was like, that's a little bit aggressive towards these young hockey players that are going to make, you know, a bajillion dollars over the hockey players make some money now. So, and hockey prices are up there. They're up there with the best. I know everybody in Houston wants a hockey team. What do you have to pay for it? What do you see how those tickets go? So it's not on. You found it on ESPNU.
I found it on whatever channel, like 210. Yeah. I just went to my 206 on DirecTV, and I just searched up because I figured it was on an alternate channel. Yeah. So I just kept doing channel up until I found it and started watching in the first quarter. And that is a shame because I saw on Twitter a lot of people were saying, you know, they couldn't find it because it said it was supposed to be on ESPN.
Right.
And then, you know, the NHL draft started later than expected, I guess. I don't know. I don't know if you've noticed this. The NHL has picked up, for whatever reason, it's picked up a lot of steam over the last 2 years. They made a bunch of money this year.
Well, the league ESPN getting the contract helped.
Well, ESPN let it go like a few, you know, years back.
Yeah, right.
But they let it go like hockey's dead. And now they're like, hey, hockey's back.
Well, they got it back. And instead of being on NBC Sports, which nobody watches, it's on ESPN now.
But why did ESPN let it go?
Well, but I don't know. But they
probably
paid,
because
why
they
did
had
they
to
pick
pay a bunch
up?
Of money for college and pro football. Yeah. I mean, these typically TV deals are not, you know, TV deals are not that very profitable anymore. But somehow, this is a separate conversation, but somehow the NHL has actually, I've noticed a lot more younger people talking about the NHL. I'm noticing it on mainstream coverage now more and more. Like the NHL somehow has picked up a lot more national steam. And maybe it's because people are more global now and they care less about just U.S. players or whatever. You look at Premier League soccer as an example of that, international soccer.
But, well, I don't know about other people, but I watched it for the first time this year. I watched the NHL for the first time this year in forever.
I did last
year. But I think it's because it's on. It's because I was going by it, and I said, oh, it's on ESPN. Oh, it's on ABC. The NHL finals were on ABC. That's a big deal.
Yeah, I don't know how this happened because it hasn't rated. Like, that's why the NHL was no longer on TV, and they lost their position. How did it? I don't know how it came back. I'm sure it's a separate conversation. But somehow the NHL has made it back into the consciousness of why did ESPN say, hey, let's spend? It must be a deal that was too good for them to pass up. And it also is true. ESPN can make things bigger.
That's it. That's,
like their platform the can absolutely make that's things it. Bigger. Unfortunately, I was hoping they would make the NBA summer leagues bigger. And for people who didn't find it, didn't keep searching up and down and ESPN channels, they didn't find the summer league. What you missed was Paolo Banchero was clearly the most comfortable and the most game-ready player on the court yesterday of the guys drafted, certainly. Josh Christopher showed, you know, looked like a guy who had played in the league. And Banchero was like he and Jabari Smith, to me, it was night and day. Jabari Smith and ESPN in their article when they write about it, I think it's a pretty good summation. They talk about Banchero and how he looked, and he looked like he could be a go-to guy and an impact player in winning time. Smith, on the other hand, looked like someone who turned 19 less than 2 months ago. He had a couple of nice moments offensively, including two nifty drives on the left side of the lane for layups, one in each half, and one nice catch-and-shoot three-pointer on the wing. Otherwise, he was largely quiet. He finished with 10 points, 7 rebounds, and 3 assists in 31 minutes as he became the latest non-guard to fall victim to the pace of summer league play when ball-dominant guards tend to control play. I texted Roosh Williams yesterday, who's the guy who comes on our show. He has a Rockets podcast, and it was obvious to me watching. Jabari Smith, you can tell he's a very young player and young person, and he's still got to grow into his body physically. But I just don't think summer league is going to be the type of place where Jabari Smith is going to shine. He's a player who is a structure player. He plays with defensive, you know, he was pointing out team defense. He was pointing out where men were on defense. He was, you could see him communicating on screens. Like, he plays team defense. He is a team-oriented player. He's not going to be a guy, and it was a lot of ball dominant. I'm going to take this ball, and I'm going to get my shot.
Yeah.
It felt like a freshman versus, you know, sophomores, rising stars game.
It's willy-nilly. It's game. Yeah. Listen, but that's Rockets basketball anyway, though.
I know, and they got to get away. I know, yeah, right. and that's what concerns me is they got to get away from that. They got to get to a more team-oriented, structured offense. Even if Jalen Green is your guy, you still want to be able to move the ball quicker, make players play defense. Don't just isolate everything.
Well, he'll probably get a lot more open looks with Jalen.
Exactly. Yeah. This is the kind of – as I'm watching, I said, you know what? This is the kind of basketball that's really not going to suit him right now. Like his game with Bruce Pearl, he did have a little bit more structure. He is a guy who is used to playing inside of a scheme, and this is not really his – he's not a ball-dominant player, so it's not really going to be set up for him to look the best. With that said, he was a little timid at times, Jabari Smith, and this is he just turned 19, and this is his first game in a summer league. It's really nothing. It happened, so I'm commenting on it, but I'm not – don't take it too – you know, don't take anything away
it's
too strong.
Game.
Except for the fact that I do think that Paolo Banchero, psychologically, confidence-wise – he came off as a guy who is ready to rock and roll. I will tell you that, man. He looked like a guy who is not worried in the least bit about making the step up.
Yeah. No. He's going to be fine. And Jabari's going to be fine, too. You know what? Once he gets into a groove.
Chet's going to be fine. All three of them. Although Chet got pushed around
day before yesterday. Yeah, he still had a double-double. And, you know, he still is. Well, you know what? Tomorrow night, it's going to be Jabari against Chet. That'll be fun. We'll see. You know, that's great how that thing's set up. That these three are playing each other in the first couple of games. That's neat. So that is going to happen as well. And yesterday afternoon, just a ho-hum 5-2 win over a Kansas City team that's feisty.
It was ho-hum for the first half of the game.
Ho-hum. There was no offense. There was nothing going on. It was boring as hell.
It was scary, like you're going to lose.
No, it wasn't scary, like you're going to lose. Nothing. Don't be scared.
It was 2-0. They couldn't really hit the starting pitcher. He kept walking everybody, and then in the fifth they got to
him. This guy's got a 7 ERA, and he's lollipopping stuff up there.
Do you know
that
Astros,
home plate umpire was terrible?
The Astros were minus 380.
Yeah.
It's one of the highest favorites I've ever seen.
Yeah. Well, you got a guy who's got a 7 ERA against Justin Verlander.
Yeah, I know.
And we were talking about it before the game, actually, and we were like, the Kansas City might be a nice value play here.
Well, because they're feisty.
And then it's 2-0, and we're like, oh, my goodness, this is – and then you know, stuff worked out. And actually, a buddy of mine who was there with us, he's laying 2.5 runs, and he gets there. He laid 2.5. He laid 1.5, then he laid 2.5 runs. And he got there on both of them, and he ended up winning a nice chunk. So, the Astros took care of their business. That was just – but, yeah, I like that Kansas City. I love Benintendi. I just love Benintendi. I just wish the Astros would go get him. Yeah, you're going to lose something defensively.
I'll be honest with you. I mean, the way Jake's playing, I don't think they're going to do anything. Jake, another hit. What is it? Seven or eight game pay,
how about Jake now? In the five hole? If I'm Verlander and I look at the lineup before
it's
the
game, like Dusty's rolling dice and whatever comes up, like, all right.
Well, it sucked that
we're
Pena,
leading off with Dubon.
It sucked that Pena. No, he's playing second. Second baseman leads off. That's all there is to it. Pena, right before the game, gets the COVID safety protocols, so he can't play. Tucker's not playing. Yuli's not playing. It's like, what the hell kind of lineup? If I'm Verlander, I'm like, hey, Dusty, every time I'm pitching, you're throwing out our minor league team. What the hell? Can I get some run support once in a while that I don't have to, every pitch isn't game seven of the World Series? Because if he gives up anything, they lose that game.
Mm-hmm.
And that seems like every single time he pitches that's the case. And then you had, and then Jake, I don't know what the hell he was doing in center field with the ball going between his legs. But
Jake.
Yeah.
How about Kyle Tucker in two of the last three games has just completely misplayed balls in the outfield for two different errors. You got Jake. So three straight games, the Astros outfielders have had misplays in the outfield. It's very strange. I mean, Kyle Tucker's gotten turned around and missed balls hit to him in the outfield, which is, I haven't seen that in 3 years.
He's a plus defender.
I know. And he, in back-to-back games, got crossed up and just made mistakes in the outfield. And then you have Jake Myers yesterday. But that's very strange to see a good defensive outfield for three consecutive games have missteps defensively.
Yeah.
Very strange. I've never seen it, ever, for the Astros. Like, you don't ever see it. Three straight games, defense just makes mistakes that ends up costing extra bases.
Verlander gives up one earned run over his six innings pitched, and his ERA goes up.
Goes up, yeah. That wasn't the best version of Justin Verlander.
No, it wasn't. He wasn't even close. He gave him seven hits. Now, some of them were flares. Some of them were off the bat handles, and some of them off the end of the bat. Some of them were not big hits. But they knocked him around pretty good. I like this Kansas City team. I really like Nicky Lopez at shortstop. He's a feisty little guy.
Were they 30-51?
They're not any good.
They don't have pitching, but
yeah.
Their offense does not give you a break. I mean, they're competitive at the plate.
No, Isbell is a .219 hitter, and he's scary every time he comes up. I tell you, they went out to the mound to talk to Verlander before Isbell's coming up. He's a scary hitter. I really like this. I really like to have Benintendi on my team, if you want to know the truth. Just let's do that. Let's get that done, James Click. Let's see what happens. 713-780-3776 is the number.
Would you trade Jake Myers for Benintendi?
Yes.
Oh, gross.
No, what are you talking about?
No,
Benintendi is your is it takes over for Michael Brantley seamlessly.
Yeah, he does, but I'm not sure that Jake Myers isn't going to have the higher upside.
Jake Myers is nice.
Myers has some pop. He's a confident hitter. He's younger. He'll be cheaper longer. I don't know.
Yeah,
because remember Fromber's going to come up before you know it and start costing you some money.
That's all right.
Jeremy Pena's going to cost you.
Jeremy
Pena's going to cost
you
$40 million.
Since when are you worried about Jim Crane's money?
Well, Jim Crane is worried a lot about his money.
No, he's not worried
about
his money.
Yes, he is.
He spends his money.
And the next time somebody has a pay that man shirt, go ahead and just assume that guy's gone.
713 ESPN.
You guys that was piss off Jim Crane.
Oh, pay me Rick? What happened with pay me Rick? You beat it. You're out of here.
I know. Don't tell people to pay you.
No.
Don't tell people to pay you.
No.
In Houston, at least.
Yeah, that's right. No, you don't get to tell people who's going to pay and who's not going to pay. We'll hear from Jose Altuve on the other side. He just crushed that ball, just destroyed it, and it tied the ball game up. So we'll do that on the other side, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But in the meantime, I'm going to talk about my peeps over at the Morley Law Firm, and it's so important that you have representation. I don't know what it is that you did. I don't know who's doing what to you. I don't know if, maybe it's somebody suing you and you're like, this is frivolous or this is ridiculous and I need some help. And you know what? That sucks because you got to defend yourself. Yet you need to do this. If you're being charged with some kind of crime and you didn't do it, you need help. Even if you did do it, you need help. You need representation. What I need you to do is go to MorleyLaw.com, MorleyLaw.com. TheBigBlueBear.com. These guys are awesome. They've got all the experience you could possibly need, and they do everything. They literally do everything. There's very little, if nothing, that they haven't seen. These guys are awesome, and if you're looking for representation and you need that representation, listen, it could be immigration, se habla español. It could be that you've got an insurance company that you're dealing with, a doctor that you're dealing with, if you've been hit by an 18-wheeler, whatever it is that you've got an issue, MorleyLaw.com. Make the call, Morley Law, 713-839-9955.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Houston Sports Radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Spencer says this, Lance, that nothing better than waking up early to have a few cups of coffee before Lance and John are on. They've been up for a while, ready to roll with 3 hours of radio perfection. That's the smartest listener we have.
What is he talking about?
Radio perfection.
When is 3 hours? When is he going to get up?
He's 10? Up. He said there's nothing better than waking up.
Oh, and then he's going to listen to three hours of radio perfection. Yeah, that's an accurate statement.
Yeah. I mean, that's the smartest listener we have.
I prefer accuracy.
And then we have Art. Okay.
Yeah, it's not going to be the same.
I love Art. Dreamshake says, I've been saying I love Jake in center field. Also starting to think the Astros might not do much. At best, trade a starting pitcher to get a relief pitcher, maybe a bat off the bench. I think benching Yuli might hurt team morale. I don't know. By the way, Cole got crushed again yesterday. What? Yeah, destroyed. Thank you. Good night. Beat it, Cole. Yeah, Garrett Cole. Yeah, your friend.
Okay. Not my friend. He's been my enemy since he left.
You love that
guy. I've been
an
anti-Dare. You were trying to like, Garrett Cole's going to be the man. He's not going to be the man. He's going to fall into the abyss just like everyone else that leaves this place. Good luck.
Falls into the abyss?
Yeah, that's right.
Like Josh Hader did? Like J.D. Martinez did?
No, the ones who we forced them out. I'm talking
like
about
Correa
the ones who try to leave us.
Oh, like Correa
Yeah, like Correa. Twins, who knows? Has anyone seen a twin game this year? No. It's like Carlos Correa is playing in a different country. No one even knows he plays baseball now.
Sucky Garrett Cole got the win yesterday. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, stop, Dreamshake.
That's ridiculous. Although he did get lit up, he still got the win because
I just don't know what happened.
Six innings, five earned runs, three walks, seven
really
strikeouts.
The umpire and the baseballs have too much mud on them, and I don't understand why I'm not able to. Like, it's not my fault; it's somebody else's fault.
Shut up, crybaby. I'm tired of crybaby Garrett Cole. Crybaby Garrett Cole. I'm glad you're not in Houston. You were not in Houston. You're just not a Houston guy.
He's not tough enough for Houston.
Not tough enough.
He's not tough enough.
You're definitely not tough enough in New York, so just fall apart in a postseason and let's just watch you start crying again.
Yeah.
And then go put a different hat on and run to a different team. Beat it, loser.
I am not looking at Andrew Benintendi's Instagram laying at night and doing stuff, Art. Okay? I'm not. I don't even know what his Instagram is. Yeah. Hey,
Jose. You seem excited about Benintendi, who's not even a power hitter.
No, he's not.
He's just some guy.
He's just a decent little
slappy.
You know what I like? I like that he goes the other way. He uses the whole field. You can't put the shift on him. He's a really, really good. He's like Uncle Mike. He's a professional hitter.
He's not to that level.
Yes, he is. He's a nice hitter, bro. Benintendi is a nice hitter.
His statistics, his production over the years are not to Uncle Mike's.
Well, let's take a look then. But let's hear from, in the meantime, a guy who is a Hall of Famer in the future, Jose Altuve. Homered, again, yes, he started it, okay? But Maldonado walks, and if you're the pitch, I mean, you're Bukic, you're like, you can't throw a strike. Of course, the umpire was awful. He was just awful. I had no idea what the strike zone was.
I tell you what now, the Astros benefited from some of the calls.
Yeah.
There were some punch outs.
Yes.
That didn't go, that turned into hits. I'm like, wow, man, this guy, if you were nibbling at the corners and throwing strikes and throwing them where you wanted them, it didn't really matter.
Yeah.
It didn't really matter with this guy.
He was awful. But the Astros benefited from it because I thought, wow, that's a walk to Maldonado. And then Altuve turns on one. I think it was the first pitch.
It was not a walk to Maldonado. It was a for sure strikeout.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And the Astros benefited.
I'd be pissed if I were a Royals fan.
Absolutely. And here's Jose Altuve on the home run and getting things going for him.
You know, we've been playing good, obviously. You know, I think good defense, good pitching. The boys have been swinging the bat good. And, you know, I think I really like the way we've been playing.
This starter for the Royals, y'all struggled against him in Kansas City and then to start this game. What was the difference, though, in the inning where you had the home run and so did Yordan?
I think he had good pitches, you know, good fastball changing mix. And, you know, but we came back, scored some runs, and they're not winning the game. But I think he threw the ball really good today.
For you and Yordan to have the big inning there, what can you say about Yordan Alvarez and what he's been doing lately? How is he doing?
You know, he's amazing. You know, the best hitter I ever played with. Is, you know, he's doing big things for us. And, you know, he's an MVP type of player. So I'm really happy for the season he's having.
You said he's the best hitter you've ever played with?
Yes.
That's pretty good. Thanks for the time.
Yeah, he said that before. He said that before, that he's the best hitter he's ever played with.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, who has he played with that would be, well, you got Springer and Correa.
Brantley. I mean, Brantley is the professional hitter, but did he play with Berkman? No, he didn't. I think he just missed Lance Berkman.
Well, Lance was in, yeah. I mean, he Lance came up did in his 11. World Tour.
Altuve came up in 11, right?
Was it 11? Whatever
Lance
the
Berkman's
case.
Last year, I think he just missed him by a year. Lance Berkman came up, was gone. Yeah, he was traded in 2010. In 2010, he was traded to the New York Yankees. Jose Altuve, if I remember correctly, came up in 2011. Might have been a little bit earlier, but I mean, Altuve wouldn't even remember Lance Berkman.
You would be surprised, yeah, Andrew Benintendi and Uncle Mike.
I don't think it's close. I'm looking at him.
Oh, really?
Benintendi
because one is one's on base is 352.
You're looking this year career.
No, career.
Yeah, Benintendi.
Benintendi's on base career on base is 352. Mike's is 356. And Benintendi's slugging is 433. Mike's is 439. I mean, it's almost. And then 794 and 785.
Batting average is 20 points higher.
Yeah,
for his career, he's got.
But on base is same.
6 years of 800 OPS or better. His strikeouts. Benintendi's hit the 100 mark in three different times when he's played full seasons. Now it was better 97, but he's going to be a much higher strikeout per nine than Michael Brantley, who hasn't even gotten to 70 strikeouts in. God, he did it one time in 2011.
Yeah, but
better contact hitter. So I don't know. I don't put Benintendi and Michael. I mean, like I said, Brantley's almost 20 points higher for his career. Was hitting hit 300.
On base is 4 points higher, and his slugging is 6 points higher.
But hit 300 four straight years. Should have been five. He hit 299 before that with Cleveland, and then he just doesn't strike out like.
Yeah, Benintendi strikes out more. There's no question.
Major league standards.
There's no question.
Benintendi's a better defender. Yeah, he's fine. I don't think I would deal a cheap Jake Meyers for him. Jake Meyers, we always seen him for his. Did we even see him half a year last year? I don't even think we saw him half a year.
Yeah, we saw him almost up until the playoffs.
Well, I know we saw him that long, but he came up later. How long did Jake play last year? Was Jake up that long last year?
Yeah, I think he was up most of the season. Now, he did switch off with McCormick quite a bit. So, you know.
And eventually Siri.
Yeah. Right. Siri got in there a little bit last year. Jake's nice. Really nice. Jake comes up with big hits. Jake is he's not Benintendi yet, but, and Benintendi's not Mike yet, but. There's still a long way to go. You're right that the money might be a big difference maker. That Jake has got Jake's doing a nice job. Jake is doing a really nice job. Jake is exceeding expectations. He did last year and he is this year.
I thought him coming back
after sitting all that time with that shoulder.
I figured he'd be super rusty.
Yes,
the guy's up there. He's up with a 7-game hitting streak, and he's knocked in runs like. When runners are in scoring position, he gets them in.
Yep.
And he looks super confident. He doesn't chase bad pitches for the most part. He looks like an Astro at the plate, where he's got that kind of level of plate discipline.
Listen, Jim Crane is with you on this one, okay? You and Jim Crane are finally on the same page. Let's save some money and let's play the young guy. Yeah, and not go out and make me spend a lot of money on stuff that I don't want to spend money on.
Now, if Benintendi costs what Uncle Mike costs, and you get a new Uncle Mike for Benintendi number, you know, that's basically.
I think Benintendi's going to cost less than Uncle Mike is.
Well, what you do is Jake. You have Jake in center field. I mean, ultimately. The play is if you brought Benintendi in, then all of a sudden he's playing center field for you, and Jake will get some time at left. Jake will be a fill in guy, and we'll get some time. We'll be a defensive replacement for Mike in games. But man, his ABs would go way down because they want Yordan getting some reps in left field. So Yordan's going to play some in left field. Jake's not going to DH. So. They want Yordan in left field. Uncle Mike is going to play when there's right-handers out there. That's just going to be the case. And so, Jake, you basically, if you were to trade for Benintendi, Jake's basically done for the year. But then next year, you would figure he'd step right into a starting role at center field, and Benintendi would slide over to left and take over for, or vice versa, or Benintendi would stay in center, however they wanted to handle it defensively. But it would be Jake, Benintendi, and Kyle Tucker, in your scenario, if they were to trade for him. Although we haven't heard anything, have we? Has there been anything that
well, the Royals, the rumor is the Royals are looking to move him.
Okay. Yeah. I would think so. I mean, he's a decent player. And,
yeah, I mean.
And the Royals aren't winning, so you want to trade all your decent players.
And Dustin says, why are we looking to move Uncle Mike? We're talking about next year. Uncle Mike is, this His is, contract about, this is it. Up. Yeah, this is it. This is it for Uncle
No,
Mike.
We're just talking about a move that could benefit you this year and that could make it where a seamless transition next year. That's all that would be. Mm-hmm. Benintendi would make sense from that standpoint.
728 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I got an interesting Texan question for you on the other side. I will pose it to you there.
And I'll tell you about my national radio where I had to basically just say, look, do y'all care about the Texans?
What are you doing?
Like, when are the Texans going to be relevant? I already knew they're doing 32 of these.
Yeah,
let's
right.
get Lance on to do the Texans.
Yeah, right.
Like, they don't really care. They're just finishing this segment up.
Hey, today, Summer Circuit takes us up to Cypress Trail Hideout, home of Papa Charlie's Barbecue. Going to be broadcasting live from noon until 7. Get on over there and enjoy it. The barbecue is excellent, people. Papa Charlie's does an excellent job. I've been up there. The bar is great. It's a lot of fun. It is a great place to go. Cold beer, frozen cocktails. You can register to win the grill from Texas Star Grill Shop and a weekend getaway from Lafayette Travel. It's today. See you at Cypress Trail Hideout, home of Papa Charlie's Barbecue on Hempstead near Spring Cypress. All right. In the meantime, a little siding for your house.
Allstate Windows and Siding gets you the very best windows that are built right here in Texas. And you need windows built in Texas. Right. It first of all, it can help from a supply chain standpoint. But number two, it really helps because they understand the weather that we face. They understand the outrageous levels of humidity, the category 4 and that can turn into a category 5 hurricanes that we will face, the wind there, the excessive rain, the excessive heat. We deal with all that. And so you want windows that are built to withstand that. And that's what you have from my friends over at Allstate Windows and Siding. They also are giving discounts for senior citizens, veterans, and for cash discounts. If you want to pay cash, they've got discounts available for you. That's across the board. You are getting taken care of. They do a great job of keeping a clean work site. They retrofit the windows. They measure and cut and retrofit them into whatever your space is there at the window frame. And they make sure that there's not the same level of leakage. And that's why your air conditioning bill has gone up and up and up over the years. Yeah, it gets hotter and hotter, but you're also not as efficient as you need to be. New siding, new windows, these are big difference makers when it comes to your efficiency from an air conditioning and energy standpoint. Make sure that you give them a call and that you take a look at 36 months, no financing, no interest payments for 36 months. Can you believe that? That's what they're offering when you call my friends over at Allstate Windows and Siding, 832-204-1936. That's 832-204-1936, allstatewindowsandsiding.com.
You are listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I was reading a piece about the Texans and their running game. Lance, who finished last in the league last year in rushing?
That would be the Houston Texans, John.
Yeah, Houston Texans. Let me ask you this question.
But not because they wanted to.
No, they didn't.
It just worked out that way.
No, they didn't want to finish last.
Yeah,
it just did it.
Just happened.
Yeah. They just
kind of happenstance. It's, you know, it's kind of random.
So let me ask you a question. Which one would you prefer? The Texans rush for 2,000 yards, just over 2,000 yards at a clip of about 4.4, which would be a yard more than they averaged last year, which was worse than the league. They averaged 3.4 yards of rush.
Good God, it was that low?
Worse than the league. If they got up to 2,000 yards, 4.4 per, or that Davis Mills threw for 3,700 yards, which would be better?
Hey.
You'd rather have him rush for 2,000. That's only 600-some yards more than they rushed last year.
Right, but 10 out of 10 times, that's what I would want. Because 600 yards over the course of 17 games, it's still, I mean, it doesn't sound like much. It's a little over 30. I guess it's like 38, somewhere in that neighborhood. But I just think running the football is going to have such a positive impact on Davis Mills. You take pressure off of Mills. You've got shorter third down, you know, shorter second downs and third downs. You'll be able to potentially open up a running play on a third and two as opposed to an automatic passing play on a third and two. I just think it would have a big impact on winning football games. Davis Mills throwing for 3,700 yards may not have any impact on winning a football game at all. It may be it's just statistics because you're always behind.
Right,
and all that
that's
stuff.
True.
When you're on the football, it eats up clock. It keeps your defense off the field more. There's so many advantages. My dad and I were talking about this. He's like, Lance, running a football. He said, for those who don't know, he was a former offensive line coach, right? I'm going to see him today. I'm staying with him. We're going up to Dallas after the show. I'm headed up there for Duke Mannyweather's offensive line summit. But he says, running a football, because we were talking about Bruce, you know, he and Bruce Arians had a difference of opinion about running a football in Pittsburgh, led to some real clashes. And Ben Roethlisberger, by the way, did not like running football. And I was told by a former coach on the staff that Ben would intentionally check into plays that would fail, running plays that would fail, so that he wouldn't have to run the ball anymore, which is like almost treasonous. Like you're intentionally hurting your own team. Then I found out he was doing it again this year, that a coach on the roster thinks he was doing it this year, that he was intentionally checking into bad plays in the run game. Like, man, that is no good. But anyway, my dad said, when you run the football, you force the defense to play physically. You don't let them attack you. You are attacking them. Your players get to attack somebody instead of playing defensively. Number two, it has an impact, like body punching and boxing. It has an impact on the physicality has an impact on tacklers and on defensive linemen who wear down. If you don't hit them and run at them and you don't play aggressively, they don't wear down as easily. He said it creates shorter down and distance opportunities for you, which really opens up a playbook, and it makes you harder to defend. A third and four is a lot harder to defend because the difference between a third and six and a third and four, he said the difference in play calling is enormous because there are routes you can throw 3 yards.
Yeah.
And all you got to do is get one extra yard.
Yeah.
The 5 yarders, the 6 yarders, that's a tougher route. That's a tough route to get run. And he just talked about the difference between running and not only that, but you're able to keep the ball longer in your possession. And the longer you have it, the less plays another team can run, the less points they're going to score. Basic analytics tells you that. The formula that all the analytics directors use, well, it's not even a formula really. It's how many points per play do you get? Kevin Sumlin talked about that. I talked about this with Kevin Sumlin when he was at U of H. He goes, the more plays we run, the statistics tell us the more plays we run, the more points we're going to score, the better we're going to be at winning games. I always felt like that was a little bit, yeah, that's true, but if you make mistakes in execution, you're also giving the other team a lot more plays as well.
Yeah, but if you make mistakes in execution, you're not going to keep the ball. So you're not going to have as many plays.
Yeah.
So it's amazing. Just 600 more yards. You know how many places it would move them up?
Oh, probably, I would say at least, probably 9?
17.
Wow, 17.
Just 600 more yards would move them up 17 spots and move them into...
2,000 is not a bad number. That was a pretty... When you said that number, I'm like, that's a good number, 2,000.
Yeah. No. 2,000 is middle of the pack. 2,000 is middle, above average.
Where were they in rush attempts? Do you have that? Because they still tried to run it, which was smart. You know, it kind of ate up the... It's why they were a little more competitive in some of the games than you would have expected, because they didn't have as many plays against it, felt like.
Yeah, I can get that. Yeah, but you move up 1,300 yards and you move up minimally as far as passing goes. That's how amazing it is, the difference in the game right now from what it used to be. So you would prefer running the ball better, even just 600, getting to 2,000 yards, which doesn't seem like much at all, and yet it would be huge. And listen, 3.4 yards a carry is awful, awful. Awful.
What's 3,700 yards passing for Davis Mills? Where would that put him?
Middle of the pack.
Yeah, middle of the pack. Yeah. I don't think it makes as big a difference. Running the football is so critical for the Texans this year. You got to run the football. It puts you in more advantageous situations, and it keeps the clock rolling, and it keeps your defense off the field.
It's exactly 16th. 3,700 is 16th. Mm-hmm. That's Ryan Tannehill.
You're just another quarterback.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, I think there's a chance he could get to 3,400. He was at 26 last year. I think 3,300 is a realistic goal for him, maybe 3,400. I think that's a realistic goal. I think your goal for him is 20 touchdowns, 10 interceptions, you know, a 2-1. He was 16-10 last year. I think a 2-1 touchdowns and interception is a very realistic goal, although I do think teams are going to have a little bit of a, they're going to go to school on him a little bit, go find tendencies, and it could be a little bit more challenging this year than people think, because a lot of times that second year, teams now have some defensive strategies that they put in specifically for the quarterback once they've really watched him on tape and gone to school on tendencies. But the running game, that should, you know what? 2,000 should be the goal.
What do you think the ratio of pass and run was last year?
The Texans got ratioed?
They didn't get ratioed. What was their pass-run ratio last year?
I think it was probably... Well, that's a guess. 58-42? No. 54-46, run pass.
546 passes.
Oh, the rest of them were...
420 rushes.
And the rest of them were special teams plays?
Well...
You said 54...
No. Well, 540... It was basically 5-4. It was 546 passes and 420 rushes.
Yeah. Well, the
percentage is different, right?
Yeah. Oh, okay. So I think it's about what I thought it was.
It's not bad. I mean, they tried to run the football.
No, they just did. Couldn't. No. They did. They did. That's why you were surprised that they were only 600 off from 2,000. Yeah. But it was 3.4.
3.4 is terrible.
It's awful. And you know, Philip Lindsay couldn't break a tackle. Like, but a lot of those guys couldn't even get started because the running game was run blocking was so.
Well, heading into week 15,
they got a better offense.
Heading into week 15, Mark Ingram was still leading the team in rushing, and he had been gone since week 7.
Mm-hmm.
That's awful. And then, you know who led them in rushing last year? Rex Burkhead.
Mm-hmm.
That's awful.
No, it was. Well, that's. So it was. I don't know. Her name is Courtney and Harry Douglas. They're sitting in for Carlin and Canty. And so they had me on. And they're asking, what do you think about Davis Mills? Could he be the answer? Gave him a little answer, same thing we talk about. What about this guy, wide receiver? The problem is, you know, Brandon Cook's a good player, but there's no big wide receivers. And I said, well, Harry, I think you're going to like this Nico Collins kid. I think he didn't play in 2020 because it was a COVID opt-out. And, you know, he came on at different times and flash. He's big. He can win the ball and contested catches. I think you're going to end up really liking this kid. I think that's a guy to keep an eye on. And I said, can I just ask? I said, I know this is the Texans. It's, you know, it's not exciting. I said, can I ask you, what will it, the national media, like, what will it take for the Texans to to even matter on the national media landscape. And she goes, and without missing a beat, she goes, winning? First of all, winning, and then you have to wipe away, and it's going to take time because we look at the Texans as the still the face of that franchise is still Deshaun Watson. And now with the Texans being complicit, and as soon as I heard that, I realized there's going to be a lot of people who just, they read the piece. I'm not 100% sure the Texans were complicit. And I'm willing to admit
we'll see what
if
a jury
they are.
Thinks.
Yeah, I'm willing to admit if they are complicit, but when I like to take in all the facts, and I expect, I'm not sure based on what I know. Here's what I do know. I do not think it's a big deal that Jack Easterby and whoever else helped Deshaun Watson get a room or a membership at the Houstonian. To me, I've been in the Houstonian before for my anniversary. Like, it's a beautiful place. It's kind of tucked away. That's not a big deal. That's not being complicit in anything that you help somebody get a room or a membership at the Houstonian. That's not a big deal. Deshaun Watson asking for a massage table from somebody on the staff, that's not a big deal to me.
Well, it is to me during COVID.
The big deal for COVID, but that has nothing to do with the sexual stuff. It has to do with breaking COVID protocol.
Yeah, but giving him an NDA without checking that out is bad.
So that's the thing. So teams go through stuff where they have to deal with players. Say there's a crazy girl who's this, that, or the other. You know, I've talked to GMs about that. This is a thing that every team has to go through, and you have your security department that can go check out on things, and they keep an eye on things. Deshaun Watson, when he said, oh, I got this crazy person, blah, 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 and the security guy gave the NDA, what I haven't heard yet through the reporting of Jenny Vrentas or anyone else is, did that person – now, my common sense tells me the security guy went to OB because it's easy to go to OB. He was the head coach and general manager and said, hey, just so you know, your quarterback has this going on. But that doesn't mean – that he knew that the Texans knew about. And I'm being honest. I'm not trying to cover up for the Texans. I think the Texans have run this whole organization into the ground and ruined it for all of us. With that said, just taking in the facts, where in the fact sheet that we have says that the Texans knew about Deshaun's deviant behavior and multiple, and maybe I missed it. If you have that somewhere in reporting, y'all can send it to me and I'll just tell you, hey, my bad. I missed this. I didn't read this. But I don't recall reading that the Texans ever were complicit in this, other than trying to say massage table, they knew it. Room at the Houstonian, they knew it. Those don't make sense to me.
No, right.
Those don't exactly make
sense.
All right,
we got a break. 713-780-3776. You got any thoughts on this or anything else? You're more than welcome to get in. 713-780-3776.
Hey, Texas Custom Patios. This is so if you go to tcplance.com, I'm going to go there right now. I haven't been for a while. TCPLance.com. Let me make sure. It's still up there. Are we still up there? Yep, here it is. You can take a look at the before and after, and it's pretty jarring. The first picture is the picture that's done. The second picture is the what I had beforehand. And I knew I had a good space there. I knew I had a space. I can't see what it can become. I don't have that vision. Good thing is Stephen Schell and his designers, they've definitely got that vision. And they're able to take your space and really turn it into something magical. They pitched the roof for me, and then they built it onto the existing structure, so it looks like it's been there forever. They found the right kind of shingles for my roof so that they were able to match it. They put in brand new gutters for me. They were able to do that. We added some drainage to the yard because, you know, I just wanted some drainage added. He goes, yeah, while we're doing the project, we'll do that as well. And then you'll see the big screen television, the surround set or the sound systems actually in the roof itself, added a couple fans in there, and it's a great spot. Now I'm going to add an outdoor kitchen in there because I didn't do it at the time. I wish I would have. They can finance you so that you can get exactly what you want. Multiple TVs, the biggest outdoor kitchen area you want, a pool house if that's what you're looking for. That's Texas Custom Patios. Go look at my backyard before and after. Trust me, don't be too judgy about the before, but when you see the after, you'll realize you can live your best life at your home as well. TCPLance.com. That's Texas Custom Patios.
ESPN 97.5.
Kings are on the air.
This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
750 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. I don't want to be the home station for the Texans, but how about another Texan topic here?
No, man, it's about time we got into some Texans.
Well, how about...
I think Twitch is going to be excited.
How about the first...
You want to talk about Deshaun?
How about the... No. How about the... I want to talk about the Texans. The first player that you sign to a four-year deal, Landon Collins. What would you think? Match him with Petrie?
Yeah, I'd actually be fine. I mean, it actually would make sense in how they play the safety position. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Washington used him as a linebacker, more or less.
So he can play. So he was a sheriff at Alabama. And, yes, he may be playing more down, but you also can play in your base, in your sub packages. You could potentially play him as a Petrie as kind of almost a nickel, a rover. Then you'd need to have another deep safety, but you could play three safety. Your base, you could play some three safety. You could play four down linemen, two linebacker, five DBs. You're in a nickel, but really it's with three safeties, and you're using using Landon Collins as kind of a rover and Jalen Petrie as a rover. I don't know if it'd be outside. It feels like that might be outside the realm of the creativity Lovey would use. But yeah, Landon Collins and Petrie together gives you a real, they give you some real versatility from the safety position.
This was a story on Texan Fan. It's Fan Nation, Texans mm-hmm. Daily. And it's actually, there's a lot of, you hear a lot of, fan sites and whatnot. Let's do this. Let's do that. Let's do this. This one makes a little bit of sense. This one is Landon Collins is now he said, I'm a team player. Do I like playing down there? I'm good at it. If I'm good at it, I'll play there. If I need to be played down there, cool. Other than that, do I like playing linebacker? No.
So
no,
I don't. He was a cap casualty?
Must have been.
Must have been because this is all. Everything's all, yeah. He must have been a cap casualty this year because he shows current dead contract numbers for Washington. So yeah, he was.
What was he making there?
Well, his number was this year. It was set to be 11.5.
That's
so
a
his
lot
cap for number. Safety. His total guaranteed number was 15.5. His dead number is 3.825. So they took on 3.825. No. They save money. His dead cap was only going to be 3.825. His contract was going to be 15.7. So, yeah, his base was 11.5. Next year was supposed to be 12.5. So you could probably get your hands on Landon Collins for $9.5-$10 million a year base.
Would you do 3 or 4 years?
I'd do 3.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Right now he's 28 years old.
And how about him teaching Petre?
Sure. He's 28 years old. He hasn't exactly played on a bunch of winning teams.
No.
He went from what? The Giants to Washington?
Well, now he comes over here to the Texans and he's like, man.
Hey, I mean, actually, he would fit in like.
They're perfect.
The expectations are low. I love this.
This is
everywhere I go, low expectations.
Yeah. 713-780-3776 is the number if you would like to
what
get in
here. What
does
that mean on the board, RJ? Well, did somebody call in? Was there somebody who called in and wanted to talk?
It says the intern wrote, we've got an intern out there, it says stories about time with John. I don't want that. Is this someone from Chicago? We don't need this.
Oh, we 100% need that.
We don't need that in our lives. There's nothing.
We need that. You're so afraid of Chicago stories being told.
No.
What is that, RJ?
So according to reports, someone wants you to talk about your time with John Clayton. John?
John with John Clayton, John Clay Wolf,
John Clay Wolf,
John Clay Wolf. Oh my!
When did you spend time with John Clay Wolf?
I've spent time. He came in and
I know. Have you spent time off the air with John Clay Wolf?
I've spent time on the phone with him. Yeah, I haven't.
But nothing dangerous is going to happen there. Just bad. Just words that could hurt you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No,
here he could get you and kicked off of something.
Well, no, he absolutely could get you kicked off the air. There's no question about that. But, he uses words that pierce your ears and hurt you. Yes.
We haven't had him on the air.
No, he hasn't been on. Wow. No, you know what? Next time we got to give me the VIN, you got to call him. You got his number, RJ? You need his number. So we need to call him and get him on the show and see what's been up with him, because he hasn't made any LGBTQ references lately on this show.
Yeah, I don't need him. I don't need him shutting the whole station down.
Transgender references?
Let him do that on his show.
He does that.
Get in trouble on your show.
He does that. He is.
I'm going to say something that's, and I don't mean to hurt anyone's feelings on this one. I'm just telling the truth. I stayed up and watched the Rockets' first summer league game on. I had to go find it on ESPN2, ESPNU, whatever additional ESPN channel it was, because it wasn't where it was supposed to be. Somehow the NHL draft was there. I don't know what got screwed up to where we thought the summer league game was on at 9, but the NHL draft was basically in the first round at 9:15 when I finally turned my game on. So I have no idea. But I watched it, and I was more hyped for the game than the game actually played out. The game was very – I know it's like this in summer league games, but – I didn't get what I wanted. I got Josh Christopher really forcing the action quite a bit. Honestly, I thought that, to be honest with you, I thought the a couple of the plays that we saw from Tari Eason looked like a dude out there. Ty had a couple of moments. Ty forced some as well, but Ty's got range. But Tari Eason had some moments out there where Tari Eason looked more comfortable out there than Jabari Smith. Which kind of disappointed me, but then I realized, dude, Jabari is, not only is he super young, he's played in a system that, you know, I think he needs structure. He's not a guy that takes the ball and is a creator off the dribble. Banchero does more of that. Banchero looked much more comfortable in the summer league. But forget me telling you about it. Jabari Smith yesterday, RJ's got some sound from him. Yesterday, Jabari Smith was, he ended up with 10 points, but a lot of it came in the fourth quarter and in the second half. And he talked about his offensive performance yesterday in this first summer league game with the Houston Rockets.
I feel like I could have been more involved just off of me. You know what I'm saying? Off of me crashing offensive glass. Off of me finding more ways to just get involved on the offensive end. But that's going to come with me learning the offense, learning the system. But, you know, other than that, I feel like I was pretty involved. Just got to make some open shots and, you know, crash the glass more.
You're kind of at the mercy of the guards and the ball handlers, especially in summer league. So a lot of times I was wanting him, he'd go set a pick, but I think he needs to play with better command. He looked like a guy who was playing his first NBA game. That's what it looked like. And he even mentioned a little bit of the fact that his aggression level needs to step up. Now, from a shooting standpoint, during the game, Doris Burke was on color commentary, and Doris Burke has no problems with Jabari Smith as a shooter.
This is the first of two tonight. Smith got it.
He is a special shooter. I thought he was a little rushed the last three he made, but we watched him shoot it at practice this morning. My goodness. Yeah.
And then finally, Josh Christopher. He was, he played on the summer league team last year. And I guess it shouldn't be a surprise that he's playing this year, John, because basically he's trying to, Jabari Smith just got drafted along with Tari Eason. You get the feeling that Josh Christopher is saying, hey, I got to kind of protect my space. I need to make Steven Silas. And it was pretty cool because Steven Silas sat in for a pretty decent stretch with Doris Burke and I can't remember what his name is, who was on the
Mark Jones
yeah, on the play-by-play. He sat in and talked to them a little bit. And Doris is like, you had 5 20-year-olds last year, and this year you're a younger basketball team. She goes, I feel for you. And he laughed and talked about that a little bit. But Josh Christopher's a guy who's trying to carve out his own spot on the team. So he came to Vegas to play because he's like, I'm not giving up. I got a wing player in Tari Eason. I got a wing player in Jabari Smith. I need to make sure that I remind the Houston Rockets who I am. And he talked about the difference between summer league this year and last year.
I feel like I'm playing a little slower. I'm making better, solid, more solid reads. Like I said, I think I'm getting my spots a lot better than I was last year.
The one thing that it's a little harder to understand because of the audio quality, but you could tell that Josh Christopher looked like a player who had played NBA basketball. He was out there and looked, got shots in the flow of the offense, was able to make shot, you know, was able to create for himself down in the paint by backing people in. He looked like a player who had played NBA basketball. Jabari Smith did not in game one. So it'll be interesting. I think the next game is Sunday, I guess. And that one's supposed to be on TV, did you say?
It's Saturday. It's tomorrow.
It's tomorrow.
It's on TV.
Oh,
ESPN2.
Yeah. Every other day, yeah.
On ESPN2. And
well,
it's against
so
Chet
you
Holmes.
Think.
Well, yeah, I guess.
Unless there's a MLS draft.
Well, I have no. I was flipping through. I ended up on some women's lacrosse game. I was like.
But it said Summer League right there on ESPN
and
on the header.
My wife
it said
got
it
mad
again.
Turn this off. What are you doing? What is wrong with you? All right, time to talk about Chastang Ford. I know what's right with me, that I go to Chastang Ford. You go to Chastang Ford. If you have ever bought a car from Chastang Ford, you're going to buy all your cars from Chastang Ford. That's what Chastang Ford does, more return business than new business, because everybody who goes to Chastang Ford knows that they got the best deal that they could possibly get, love the people that they're dealing with, love the deal, love how they got they worked the rebates, love how they don't add on, never add on. They're not going to do that. You just love the way that they do business. And it's about integrity. It starts at the top, and it starts with the Chastangs. And I'm telling you, one of the first things he said, John, make sure that you tell everybody we are not going to add on. We just don't do that. Or mark up. And that's a big thing right now in the car industry. These dealerships are marking up $5,000 and $10,000 on these new cars just because they can. Well, they don't at Chastang Ford. You're not going to get that. You're not going to get it ever. What you're going to get is that best car you can get at the best price the way that you want it. All at ChastangFord.com or on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown. Go see my peeps at Chastang Ford.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real. Fun. Sports.